This is the committee of the whole meeting, March 18th, 2013.
Call a committee of the whole meeting to order at 8:08. Roll call.
Trustee Clemens.
Present.
Trustee Doobie.
Present.
Trustee Sandoval.
Here.
Trustee Simoncelli.
Present.
Trustee Tripbon.
Present.
Trustee Wyszynski.
Present.
Item 2.1 is approval of the minutes of the committee of the whole meeting, February 19th, 2013.
Second.
Motion by Sandoval, second by Wyszynski. Questions or comments? Roll call.
Trustee Newby?
No.
Trustee Sandoval?
Yes.
Trustee Simoncelli?
Aye.
Trustee Tripbon?
Aye.
Trustee Wyszynski?
Aye.
Trustee Clemens?
Aye.
Motion carries. Item 2.2 is approval of the minutes of the Committee of the Whole, March 4th, 2013.
Second.
Motion by Sandoval, second by Wyszynski.
I have a couple of comments on that one. Okay. First of all, wanted to correct the question here about, let's see, in item number 3, talking about increase of 125, it's going to be an increase of 25 cents. And then,
See, we're in the comments from Michael Bloom. So,
I think I was just reading what he wrote.
Okay.
That's fine.
That should be 2.75 for Steve Mac, 2 slash.
Yes, you can do that. And then also, hold on, sorry, I have to go to my screen here. There was under.
For bid, we should give these to the local.
No, it was saying I wanted some guidelines for what the board wants to do. We do this from set some guidelines so that we can know exactly what we need. So looking at that correctly, so if you're questioning, well, if you, don't get me wrong, yes, I do. I'm often always in support of if we can do within reason to our local businesses. I'm definitely as well supporting our local businesses that are our residents who we have, you know.
Revisions. Okay. So, motion to table approval of the minutes.
Second.
I'm Sally, second by Clemens. Additional comments? Roll call.
Trustee Sandoval?
Yes.
Trustee Simoncelli?
Aye.
Trustee Tripman?
Aye.
Trustee Wyszynski?
Aye.
Trustee Clemens?
Aye.
Trustee Newby?
Aye.
Public comment for the committee as a whole? And then to Human Resources and Finance?
Yes, Mr. President, we have a couple items, a couple small items this evening. budget review and the capital improvements plan. I think from the standpoint, since most of us just received the budgets this weekend, or late last week, suggesting that we do a high-level overview at this meeting to be possibly followed by a more detailed meeting. We can discuss that as we get to it. Similar to what we did with Public Works, to go over, you know, some of the details needed. But I'm going to kind of turn it over to Steve to just do a high level on both of these items. I don't know if I'm going to go first.
Thank you, Trustee Haynes. I have extra copies. I didn't realize there were so many residents here, so I'll share, please.
In January, we gave the Village Board a budget assumption memo. We have to tell you, is an updated that memo. The upper level presentation, though, somewhat follows the memo that you have in front of you, but the memo itself is much more detailed than the slides you see. Carryovers, and also the revenues for those projects and carryovers. The net agenda item after this is the capital improvements program. All of those capital items have been programmed into the budget for the next year and 5 years thereafter. If you recall, we started depreciation replacement funding last year. The vehicle amounts are slightly higher than what was assumed in January. In the past, we didn't include equipment, like squad equipment and plows, and those depreciation amounts do include that now. Building is about the same amount we used last year, slightly higher. We also have technology and storm sewer insurance. The general fund has revenues of 6.7 million and expenses of 5.9. It shows up there how much is capital versus the operating. We also split out the bond servicing. Each year we do a transfer or a service the 2010 bond series. And then the replacement funding is for future capital items or each depreciated currency. That's a dollar amount under the proposal for next year. And then each one of these graphs will show your estimated year-end cash balance. And for the general fund, it's $5 million. The operating reserve of 30% will be around $2 million. Just look at a big picture overview of each department's budgets. Briefly, for example, admin went up 83,000, 64% of that is capital, the new wireless system, if I'm correct here, initiative here.
Phones too.
That's
a big problem. Our phone system is obsolete. AT&T jacked up the rates. They've done it twice in the last year, and we have no management services that affect the phone system anymore here at Village Hall. That does not include the public works facility. However, the police public works facility, even that phone system is obsolete, and the entire thing needs to be replaced in order to accommodate voiceover, which the thought is, with the capital, we'll be able to reduce our cost for phone calls. But again, we still have to pay a significant amount for the system we have here as an old analog system.
The police department went down $58,000, mainly due to eliminations of certain positions. The administrator over there has a CSO position, so that impacted within taxes and insurances. And we took a close look at SunCom. The county decreased that by $25,000. We tied it into their budget this year. Public works went up 10%. That's mainly due, or 50% of it, to the capital items. And finally, the building department went down $14,000 because last year we had unemployment insurance in that budget. This year we're just not. Again, a big picture approach. Motor fuel tax fund, we need to get about $500,000 every year through motor fuel tax and high fuel supplement. The revenue is a little higher than that due to some other additional funding, such as grants. This year we're proposing to do a replacement funding of $400,000. The expenses are $1.6 million due to the next page, mainly due to our growth. Spending our CIP for a number of years, so we're getting very close to now utilizing that. A couple other items, way for the church loan improvements, $12,000. That program there is going to be funded by CDB's revenues of $518,000. A new program is the pavement preservation by Ken Payton. We can go over that and get the CIP document. Frank Reynolds Fund is a special service area for the Frank Reynolds area. Revenues are $23,000. In Utah, used to do a property tax levy of $144 per address. We abate that every year now to keep the cash in that fund at approximately $100,000 for future capital items if necessary. Self-service funds are self-explanatory. We're trying to match the revenue expenses there that you see in that graph. The cash is up near the end there because a couple of debt funds are higher than we're selling next. Basically, our utility cash is paid for that service, along with electric and telecommunications, which 100% of those two taxes do pay for that service. 50% of our gas utility tax pays for that service. There's also four bond series we have remaining. The next one retired in 18. I don't think any of those are callable either until after 2020. In the past, we called a couple bonds to save a lot of money for the village. We can have questions at any time on the ones you request. Capital Projects Fund, levies of $333,000, the same as grant utility tax, plus some grant funding in there. We're recommending a replacement funding of $700,000 next year to build the balance up in that fund. The expenses are almost $1.2 million. The list of capital will be on the next page. There are main projects. Again, there's long way to do paving. There's PPG revenues of $100,000 for that. This includes not only construction, but all engineering for these projects. Valley Lake Subdivision, Select the Roads, is a new project. We discussed that at the next agenda item. It's off with CIP. And the remaining have been in the CIP with the exception of the payment we have.
The, just if I could double comment, sure, clarify, the Long Lake Road repaving is how I'm here from NASA to Fairfield. It looks like Fairfield Road is cut off.
It was cut off.
So we have, you know, we call that past year's the western half, the western portion. And I think Steve said when we did get CDBG money, approximately $100,000. And I'll caveat that with, that still has to be federally funded, and we still have to, you know, that it's essentially a program from Lake County's perspective who manages that money in Lake County, but it's still got to get authorized at the federal level.
Mark,
yes,
you just clarify what CD?
Community Development Block Grant. It can be used for affordable housing, other initiatives such as that, but also in our case, with our income levels in certain portions of the village, we can utilize it for infrastructure improvements, with the exception of water.
What's the likelihood that we will get that?
Yeah, I've asked. It's, we don't know what the feds are going to do on that. I don't believe it is part of the, you know, across the board budget cut, but I'm not certain. I haven't gotten enough up or down either way on that.
So the transient cost from now?
Then we'll get $100,000.
We have a good CPG money each project we have requested so far.
So what you're saying is this year with the cuts from the Fed, we may not.
That is correct. One thing also on Sunset repaving and sidewalks, that is to be included with Hart Road. We met with Lake County Council of Mayors, Ron and I, and Kurt and John Ambrose from Baxter Woodman, to Hart Road project is being funded also to federal dollars and they're paying for a large majority of that. Because we have to do a large portion of that construction with storm sewer that's being funded by through the federal dollars, Sunset Road is also going to be in need of significant repair. So that has also essentially been part of the, we've been eligible for federal money. It hasn't been co-grant for a specific date, but since projects all being done at the same time, it makes sense to get it all that done at the same time.
So that's one item we already discussed.
Yes. Yeah, for the phase two and the engineering for it, yes, that's the ongoing. The construction dollars and the engineering dollars.
The construction dollars are in year end 15. That is for engineering services.
The engineering was
$7,000. Along with the 131 from the Ghost Bridge is engineering. Next is the Water Sewer Fund. Again, revenues are about 3.9, expenses nearly 6 million. A lot of capital that's necessary to get done.
cash for such capital requests, which are now listed there. The two major capital requests are a weekend water main replacement at $725,000, and as you're aware, the Washington Street, well, that's a station, it should be Washington Street improvement at that station, adding 36 and a mile in there, which is down here. We discussed that in our beautiful building. Again, the other projects are in the CIP. If there's any specific questions on each one, we can discuss that in the next agenda item of the CAD code. There's our commuter parking lot. User fee support this fund. The big jump in 18 is the long lane parking lot capital item. Again, just user fees paid for this, or we can. Right now, there's no CIP program for this fund as far as maintenance of the lot and something we need to do. And finally, the internal service funds. This is your replacement funding for technology items, for vehicle equipment, mobility replacement. This was started last year. It's supported by general and water sewer funds. It's off capital, and something that was necessary to do so we can have the cash to replace the items we now have on hand. There's some of the fixed assets for the internal service fund for next year. There's your phone system actually replacement. That's a quick overview. I know it wasn't like I just set out. We have from here now another community home meeting. There will be a public hearing on April 1st, right before the board meeting. The public hearing notice was in the paper today, so we allowed enough time for state statutes. And then thereafter, based on Trustee Clement's comments of what we want to do at the next meeting, the whole meeting, to trust the attendance was the big, broad, big picture. And I'm sure there's questions if there is a review calendar, if you want to go through that at the next meeting. Just asking for direction, that's what you want to do.
Yeah, so my initial suggestion was perhaps we do it by committee in terms of by department, that the committee chair and the co-chairs do and confirm, ask any questions. We can do that at a special meeting, or we can try to do that at the next committee of the whole meeting. Suggestions either way, or other suggestions?
I would say due to the size of the budget, I think the national meeting will discuss this on the budget with the department we've done that in the past.
The question is, do we want it to be after the next meeting or before the next meeting? Want it to be after?
Well, the challenge is we have spring break coming up, right? Which doesn't impact me personally, but I think it probably impacts the number of staff and consultants. And residents.
So, what would the potential be?
Well, I think the suggestion is that the next meal call, we'll see what, how much we get through, and if we don't get through all the questions and comments, then we could establish another committee of the whole meeting after that.
So we could do like we did with Ron's meeting, the continuance of the committee of the whole meeting. Is that what we did? Okay.
No,
was that a special?
That was,
yeah,
a special one.
Okay.
Was a continuation?
Yeah, so that would continue the committee of the whole, and then we convened on a Saturday morning.
So we would continue to a date specific at that time.
But I guess at this time, too, this is again the broad picture. If there's any specific items any board member would like to get to the next committee of the whole, so we have some direction. You know,
either now or you just call or email.
Yeah, what I would have to do is again, I was just out of town, so I just started looking through it last night. Anyway, I have some items. What I'll do is put together, and I think each one of us should put together some questions for Steve, and then perhaps Sue and I then could meet with you and go over the questions you have later this week, and then make a proposal to the rest of the board about whether it's a special meeting or if we think we can plow through it as a committee of the whole.
I think it would be beneficial if the entire board were privy to the questions that were brought up, so they would know to look at as well.
Agreed.
Are we anticipating a lot? A lot of.
Maybe we can clear the decks, postpone anything that isn't budget related or not essential.
Correct. Definitely take that direction and see how we do.
All right.
Our next regular board meeting committee of the whole would be on Monday, April 1st, and the discussion for a follow-up date would be Saturday, 6th.
It'd be.
And time that would be okay for majority
morning?
Any?
Actually, we have the 12 rent.
Any other board members currently have an issue with that? So that I believe after 12 o'clock on the 6th.
Okay.
Okay.
So do we want to include then the CIP as part of that discussion as well, or are you going to do a summary?
I can do a very brief summary if that's what we're saying. I know my while it's here. It's very, very good. Basically explaining the document. In front of you, we have the academy improvements plan. We've been working on this. I believe we typically start in November each year. The plan itself, the first three pages is a message. Four through seven are summaries, and I think that's a good idea to take a look at the summaries. It's by the firm and it's by the firm. After that page, detailed pages, more specific on what each project is, to give everyone a better understanding of what we're trying to accomplish for that project. Again, all these items in here have been programmed into the budget next year, 5 years thereafter. And about 10% of the projects are new. So we're going to, I don't know how we're going to address this. We're going to go over each one, or just going to go out and get success tonight.
So it might make sense to go over just to mention the new ones. First, go with a small number.
A couple new ones. I'll just briefly go over these. You can stop if you have questions. Under admin is an exchange server upgrade. Under public works, there's liquid anti-icing under the LSD at 7,500. A skid steer loader at 25 SC15. A used trailer for 20,000 split between water sewer funds.
And Fairfield at lot 134, which sidewalk computers at 20,015. Again, we talked about the pavement preservation by thin pavement treatment as part of the budget presentation that pointed at 75,000 next year. The rest of these are all public works or engineering, along with that 75,000 that we discussed. Another one was 88,000 Riversink Road project. Sunnybrook Road rehab at 12,000. There was also a 3-year program for the Valley Lake Select a road at 100,000 each. Demolition of the Hart Road house, we have 525 wasn't a program. We took it out, we're putting it back in. Really bad shape. We need to get that done. The remaining projects, real quickly, are just in the water and sewer fund. Apologies for the I'll go through quick. Evaluation of water distribution system, and maybe for the next meeting, I can spell it out for you exactly what's new and what page, so if you need to know specifically.
Okay.
Backup power generator for a
group
with the station. We have a connection to the South Water Transmission, the Iowa South Transmission. We have a fence for water towers at 70,000. We have replaced 9 hours of water main valves and fire items at 50,000 each for the next 2 years. Some other items, upgrade 3 sewage and lift station control systems at 78,000. I don't have specifically which ones those are.
Thank you.
And then cured in place liner for a sanitary sewer interceptor at 115. I think at the next meeting I'll hand something out so we can file it better. Everybody panic goes. You think the numbers are fresh? But about 10% of the total of 14 million are new projects. The remaining projects have been in the capital plan and either are still there we assumed it would do, can or has it shifted around slightly.
So that would include everything within the engineering public works. Except perhaps the Long Neck Road, or was Long Neck Road?
Everything was under Engineering Public Works Department, except for the exchange server upgrade that was under admin.
Yes.
And admin also handled the demolition of the 5.5 arms.
Thanks.
Again, I would suggest if there's any specific questions, just the pages to this document. Maybe it's part of the questions to be asked of the budget or the CIP questions at the same time, we can clear them at once.
Right, so my recommendation would be for each chair to review budget, their section of the budget with their respective admin personnel. And any questions answered, and if there's questions that can't get answered or suggestions, then we can.
Okay, on the public works facilities, capital assets, your engineering, liquid terrace reconstruction.
Mr. Mayor and members of the board, this next item is adopting a resolution to authorize expenditure from SD funds for the next phase of the Paris. We started the Paris reconstruction last year for the segment from Cedar Road of the Cedar Crest Port, and we're now taking the next piece from Cedar Crest, basically the Spanky, and should be ready to put those plans out to bid here in the next couple of weeks on or so. But this is a procedural resolution to request that MFT funds be used on that. There are additional funds to support the project out of the large sewer fund as well. Are you happy to answer any questions yet?
So my only question on this is, so it indicates that the current budget from the two funds is zero, which
in the 2012-2013 is accurate. But these funds are in the 2013-2014 budget. So are we asking to pull these expenditures into this fiscal year, or are we, or is this just an authorization that will, that we know will fall into the next fiscal year?
Next fiscal year.
Okay.
We'll fall out in next fiscal year.
So should the budget amounts reflect what's in 2013-14 budget then? Because those dollar amounts are in it.
Yeah, we can do that. This was just for the project based on the fact that it's older. This is a CDBG, another block grant project that's actually the 2012 year, which the money's already been appropriated by the federal government for it. And the MFT resolution is just, you know, for motor fuel tax expenditures. We're not ready to go out to bid yet. By the time we're ready to go out to bid, you know, it's just a timing issue. But certainly, if you want us to put those budgets in there, we just thought that
they are in the 14 budget.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Right.
We didn't know what the other. We didn't. You know, was trying to pull the horse and weren't sure. We can put them in there if they're budgeted. If that's what more prefers, absolutely.
Well, because right now it's indicating that under budget, but technically we have 348,000 from zero here open budget.
Yeah, this does not approve the project. This is just the MFT portion of it, so there's no expenditure authorization.
The board's okay with moving that forward then?
Yeah, with the correction that the
totals in there.
Right.
A special events, Arbor Day event discussion.
Unfortunately, I was begging for me to reschedule. I think Johnny, due to your appointment tonight, he won't do it tonight, so if we want to make a meeting today, I could speak with you. That will keep your schedule on.
On those days.
Whatever, so I won't do it, but I could see you. Michigan Hall, and then we'll go with that. I can go out to lunch or something if you're free during the day. That way Ron doesn't have to come in and catch us. We'll communicate tomorrow and then try and do something when there's over there.
Something that didn't make the minutes either, another addition if we could add it, we do have Kip Evans we have asked again. So
I did write that down.
Okay.
The last one.
Okay.
We haven't heard that from you.
Sorry.
We haven't heard back from him yet?
We haven't, but he was pretty positive about it when, you know, we finished it up for the year. He actually gets a tax break or something. I'm not exactly certain what he does, but by donating, he gets a benefit. So he's eager to receive the benefit.
I think I found a way to get in the car. Mayor, members of the board have made that brief on the organization situation. The handout that I gave at the last board meeting as sort of an outline. I feel pretty good about the progress that my staff has made so far in making inquiries. I think it is pretty important that whatever board member started to participate, that we can get together so to agree on who's doing what, and that it all comes together in a timely manner.
For getting, I know the official not here for a while and forgotten the village t-shirt for special events to get wear the clothes around the t-shirt. It's important getting something, but we can figure out how much we need to get. I don't best interest of the community, given what it was. Like it's, I think it's what, layer of blue polo, right? If it can work out, I think that'd be nice, you know.
Get a great sound for it?
Yeah, if you can get, like, get lights and how long, and you know, have them for the best.
In the past, we purchased our own.
Right.
Oh, absolutely. We can get it.
Oh, that's the two we both were just talking about, we just have it. Okay, that's a good sign, we'll have it from directly. I need that information out from that, I see that we need it. Put it all in order.
As far as the other day, date, I've had a board member from one of the time this week sometime. It's still, we need to post it, so, and nobody else, the committee's going to be meeting for another forum. So there will be others just to be, attend that meeting.
I would like to, if it's during the day, I would like to.
In the better.
Yeah, but I think it makes more sense to go over it for the majority, especially for staff.
And I will be no down, you will be knocking.
Yes.
Probably depends on the day and the time. Maybe if it's attendance, so if you have a date that it could be published for, so it's open to people, that would be fine. Okay, the final item we have is update on group transfer station discussion. To go along with the SLAWCO thoughts in general, how would we look in comparison to the other member communities if we voiced an opinion opposite of what SLAWCO is?
And as I said, that was a concern, but not necessarily how I felt personally. So let me make that very clear. I'm sure not all the trustees would go on the same way you did. So.
I think we're just, we're going to vote on how we want our SLAWCO representative to vote on it. Maybe we just go ahead and do that.
I don't know if we can take an actual vote. Can we?
Oh, that's right.
Consensus, perhaps?
Correct.
And then
correct.
Put it on the agenda?
Right. We put on the agenda. The next SLAWCO meeting has now been rescheduled for April 11th.
So we would be able to
put it on our next agenda for consideration.
I have a question, actually, out to our finally packed house, which I don't think my entire term I've seen so many people, which is kind of nice. We've been posing back and forth. If we do take a stand and we do decide that we are going to post, how much are we comfortable, so much allocating for this? This is really what we're concerned. We have to go to the nation. We can't sit there and work this out face-to-face. How much are you going to have the village spend of your tax dollars? What do you want to, where do you get support?
Well, there was a comment last meeting. There was a comment last meeting that I saw online, and it made sense to make sure that you don't overspend on something we can't manage. But yet, we definitely, I think, in my opinion, the board should strongly oppose it. And that's the first step, and that's what Mr. Huber should do, I think, is probably the next step of okay, what can we do? Is it minimal? Have we approached meaningful at all? We can't, I don't want to spend hundreds of dollars for a losing battle. But I think the first step is you need to board say, okay, I'm going to have to post of it because it's not going to help Round Lake and go in any way and all the subdivisions up there, these homes are underwater or anywhere. It can't help them. So at least as a board, you need to say, okay, I'm going to cancel this one, right? That's the first step.
Could we get your name and address for the record?
Sure. Chris Flower, 378 Winchester Drive. Do
we have any other comments?
Michael Bloom, 547 Montgomery. So I think what I'm hearing is the board is agreeing, though, that from a voting perspective or something that the board can directly do from the vote, even if we vote no in SLAWCO, that realistically that would not stop this from going through if Round Lake Park does get approval from the Illinois EPA. So what the village of Round Lake needs to do is, I think the next step would be to invest into a study to at least find out. I don't know. It's going to be hard to get a consultant to tell you that it's not winnable because the consultants are out to make money. Every consultant is going to tell you somehow that it's going to be winnable in one way. So it just depends on how far it goes. But I think it behooves the board to at least move forward with what a study would be. Now, what that study is going to cost, I can't even imagine. The board's been down this path before in other scenarios, and even studies aren't cheap. But I think that, at least at that point, for all the anger that's within the community, the board owes the residents at least the studies. After that point, at least that allows us to then present that study in the open forum, give something for the Illinois EPA to take into consideration. Now, at that point, the board has to make a decision. If the Illinois EPA did still go ahead and grant approval to build the transfer station, then it seems at that point that the board's next and only option would be to try to move forward with litigation to try to get it stopped via that way.
I was kind of wondering how our council felt and what kind of advice he might give us.
I was just taking some notes on that. As a matter of fact, writing an email to the administrator and the mayor. My suggestion is we get together with one of my environmental partners, Steve Grossmark, who's done pollution control board proceedings, try and put together some sort of broad budget so that we have some numbers to work with. And from there, discuss it in terms of those parameters.
So would we then have options and have discussions about options and what we might expect if we go forward with these different options?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the options really are to either contest it at the administrative level, which would be in front of the round like Part 4 when they have their siting meeting. That's a full-on, that's where you have to put in all your evidence. So to put on a full objection there, I think you need to be fully informed about what your costs are, because that's going to be similar to a trial. And once you know that, then you can determine whether or not to go that route. If you want to put on a nominal objection, basically essentially speaking your piece, you can do that too. You have to talk about the consequences of not putting in evidence, because that's your only opportunity to do it. So you really have three options, which is do nothing, a nominal objection, and then a full-on trial with the knowledge that if you lose at that level, then your next step is pollution control board, and then your next step is court.
So your suggestion at the public hearing level of Crown Lake Park, the attorney representation, and if we have expert witnesses that we hire, that the attorney would manage those witnesses as well, or what's your concept initially?
Well, my first suggestion is that we talk about the cost,
right,
so that we know what we're talking about. If the board's comfortable with the cost, or at least understand it, my experience is nobody's ever comfortable with legal costs, so let's assume that's going to remain the same. But understanding...
But you could change all that if you really want to. Well,
hold on. Try 2 years. Understanding what the costs are and then willing to spend them, then my suggestion would be, yes, that it be run by an attorney and with evidence coming in a typical administrative hearing form.
And would your associate have contacts with environmental people that we could start getting some cost estimates on expert witness testimony may involve, or would that be something that the village would pursue on its own?
Well, that's what I want to talk with the four of us about, is to find out, because expert witnesses, an art and a science in getting those together. And so to the extent that we have worked with experts in the past, they may not be perfectly suitable for this particular problem. And that can take some discussion and some work among us so that we can report back to the board.
So we can still follow up with other studies.
Oh, definitely.
See what we can find out from what other people have produced already that may help us out.
Mr. Mayor, I have a question for the attorney. Tom Mueller, 284 Cranberry Court, Round Lake.
I may or may not answer. I'm warning you that right now.
That's right.
I'm the only guy up here who may or may not answer.
From a village, well, I guess we could direct it to the mayor. So can litigation by the village delay this supposedly project down the road enough to make kill it overall?
I will answer by saying conceptually yes, but I don't want to give that opinion in this forum just yet.
Fair enough.
Okay. Tap Lattle, 1932 River Grove. What is the time frame that all this would take place? And is this something that should have taken place back in September when the letter first was given to the village, or when the board found out about it in November? So what's the time frame from the
As far as when we put together expert witness testimony and things, we've talked about it for the last month or two now about the possibility of doing that. As far as when it would need to be done, I was told that there's a 30-day intent to file the application, And once the application would be filed, then the public hearing needs to be scheduled between 90 and 120 days from the actual application date. So you're looking at a four-month period from when the actual public hearing would start, from when the intent to file would be filed again. So there is some time in there, but now would be the point where we need to be investigating what our options would be and what we think we might want to follow through on.
Jeff, this could tell if I have 12 minutes last time. Mayor, has anybody approached Haynesville and their board? There's usually strength in numbers, you know, to try to talk to them and see what they think about it.
The only thing I know is that I pushed to have our public meeting to get information out to our residents. Linda Soto had kind of backed away on that. Once I said I thought it was important to educate our residents and get as much information out, she followed suit with that and supported the idea. They seem not to be as proactive as Round Lake is being right now, but I haven't checked with her to verify that, and it's something we can certainly do.
I did have a contact with her, and she did say that because of the multiple recommendation to hold off last week.
That was on that original public meeting that was offered for both villages at that time, right?
So why did Walter make that recommendation?
I had asked him at the January meeting, and he didn't have a good reason, just that he and I suggested that we did follow through and it would be good for our community to have the presentation and get as much information as we could out to our residents, that he would support having the meetings at that time, and group ultimately agreed to have Shaw put on the presentation with them. Well, other than that, we're not sure. Mike?
So what it sounds like is this board should not be entrusting the SWALCO to help guide the village in our direction. The SWALCO is invested to get a host agreement approved. I think Walter made that evident tonight. I believe they also negotiated secretly a host agreement from 2009 without us letting other municipalities know. So I would behoove the board not to seek counsel within SWALCO on how the village should move forward on how this project is detrimental and negatively affecting our residents. SWALCO is not going to be our savior in this, so we should take that with a grain of salt when it comes to this particular issue.
Right, we need to do our own investigation into what the process would cost us and whether it's worth going forward, and we can also ask if Haynesville would be willing to partner with us. Dan, did you have any questions?
Dan, Gillis, 356 Goodell Boulevard. John, thank you for the information that you gave us today. I've read a lot of that myself, the Carbondale project and things. But, you know, one thing that I've overlooked, and I'm wondering if anybody in the room, including the mayor and the board, and also if this information would come out in our attorney's research with trying to find the expert witnesses and doing that too. Has any one of these transfer stations been opposed enough and litigation brought forward and actually stopped and blocked? I haven't actually looked for that particular information, and I'm wondering if anybody's trust if this thing has, if it never has been stopped.
I work in the village of Cary, and they tried, Waste Management tried to put a transfer station in Cary 6 years ago, but the village itself opposed it, and they got it moved.
And it's also broke too.
That theirs was operating when it got shut down by the village. But that, again, the village didn't want it. What in Brown Lake Park, the village wanted. That was, I'm Brian Smith. I live in Timber Creek, Trailer Park. Was that in that
Brown Lake Park?
Brown Lake Park.
Sorry, right there in the backyard.
You had a lot of things going on tonight that I wanted to hear.
The Buffalo Grove facility that the one you said was operating?
They were operating and they were closed down.
I have Buffalo Grove as well. They had one operating and it was shut down as well. The trustees from Buffalo Grove told me all that.
Okay, and they Kerry, it was about 6 years ago that they closed it, so we can try to follow up on
that. Yeah, they moved it to Crystal Lake out in wide open spaces like the landfills. Nowhere near a house.
We're kind of out in the...
they put it out in the quarry area of Lake of the Hills Airport.
Yeah, if you look at all of the, like, if you do Google Maps, all the transfer stations that are around, they're all in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
They're quarries. They're, one in Longview is in the forest service, basically, right? I mean, yeah, nobody's going to complain about that.
It's trying to buy some care on their side, for sure.
We talked last week, sorry, 6 weeks late, and it's over a mile every, it's all quarries.
Yeah.
The correct?
That is the one thing that I know about all these. This one's right by the person, for everyone else in the county.
And I'll tell you, when there are actually some residents to the northwest that are closer than the perception is as you drive past it.
But they already know it's there.
Right.
At a 50 level woods, right? Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. It's right on the corner of 120.
I know, right in the Gillis, and I drove out to Batavia, and I actually set up a meeting in had them show me that facility. And I think the last military I drove through was West Chicago, and they drove probably another 10 miles through mostly farmland, where very few residents were. And then all of a sudden, here's this industrial area. I'm going to assume maybe a square mile in size, and in the middle of that was their transfer station. And I drove all of the borders of that and, you know, could not see any subdivisions in close proximity to the residents that we have. Most of them are, you know, I understand the need for them, but we just don't need one here. I was just asked how the smell was, and I did this in December, and I was standing right in front of the door, 10 feet from the door, and they wouldn't allow us to go into it. But it was in full operation, these huge end loaders filling up the semis, a mountain of garbage in it, and I told the foreman, I said, you know, I'm right now kind of shocked that I'm standing this close to this much garbage, and I'm not gagging. And he looked at me with a smirk on his face. He says, it's December, it's 19 degrees now. Come back in August. So, yeah, there is smell. There is odors.
And we had asked if there might be an opportunity for people to tour some of the local facilities. We haven't followed up on that to see if they would want to try to arrange something. And I also asked if there would be an opportunity, what the limit would be on the number of people that they would allow on a trip. So we'll try to follow up on that as well.
Also, just that you would be willing to organize a tour to the local.
Okay, I think we've got quite a bit of direction and some things to investigate. Comments tonight.
Just one more thing on the one in Crystal Lake. That has been in operation, I believe, now for 3 years.
Okay.
So it is the newest one around.
And that's out on Virginia Street, I believe, and it's a little bit
west
of
Lake
Earl 31.
It is, yeah, southwest of 31.
Any other comments before we close?
So the public feels good about this truck?
It should go away.
I would also like to see what Dick Tuck mentioned as a greater effort on our board to connect with Saddle, Hainesville, the Brownlee Beach, Grays Lake, any of the bordering communities.
Can you get an update on the outline of what was proposed?
I think this real proposed statement is the low date.
Right. Like everybody recognizes in the future, Lake County has the need for them. Mm-hmm. That's what I've said all along, is what's the right place.
Mm-hmm.
something to say about that location, location.
Okay, you had any suggested new topics that we want to lay the agenda for the next meeting?
We received a message from you on the sanitary district, and I would like to bring that up for review. Looks like we're going to be experiencing some cost increases that took me a little by surprise, but I'd kind of like to have some discussion on that.
We can do that. I think we had the zoning application that was submitted to Valley Beach, was forwarded to everybody. And we also had the time schedules. Yes. And then actual fee increases would, I believe, the general discussion would be beginning of next year, end of this year, next year.
They're looking at January.
Yeah, they're proposing, they're looking at moving the project forward because of the need for storage of excess flow capacity. Tentatively, they're looking at fall removal of the sludge from existing ponds, and Lake County has contributed $2 million towards the project. We estimated there's many more millions that have been passed around Lake County over the years that were contributed by our residents and fees to the county, but the county was kind enough to contribute $2 million back to the project. So the sludge removal will be paid for out of that. Part of the discussion on the fee increase, there will be bonds issued for the work. It's about $17 million total.
The various committees are migrating towards trying to secure Illinois EPA loan.
The low interest loan.
To avoid having to bond.
Well, that would still be through bonds. If we get the EPA loans, it would be a 20-year payoff versus a 30-year payoff.
And at a lower interest rate.
Yes. The annual, the monthly fee payment increase to our users would still be about the same. It would just be if we get the low interest bonds, 10-year less payoff than if we go with the longer term.
So there are reasons why we're just getting the information now versus before. That this week, I know that.
There's been preliminary discussions. The Christopher Burke Group is a consultant with the county on the project, and they've been developing the plans for the project. Part of it was a landscape plan for improvements that Valley Beach created, a PUD for the Valley Sanitary District site requiring specific improvements with landscape improvements and decorative fencing and things like that that be done with the project, so they've been developing all of that. I think in the updates we've had some general comments that the county had been working on the plan, but we passed along more detailed information.
So how much do we anticipate the user fees going up?
We were given numbers, and I can't recall if it was $1.20 to $1.30 per month per user.
Per residential
in that,
unit.
Yeah, in that, right, per residential unit, in that range. Yeah. And regardless of whether it was the 20 or the 30, the fee would be within that 10-cent range, but it would be paid off either over 20 years or 30 years.
So while we were in litigation, all of this was going on, all of these discussions and committees and...
Yeah, that's going to be the next question, because we were in litigation for a while.
So we got left out because we were in litigation?
We were not invited to the Northwest Advisory Committee meeting because we did not have an agreement with the county. They had preliminary discussions going on with the project prior to our previous agreements expiring. There was discussion on redoing for the time access to it. But it has been going, discussions have been going on for a number of years.
So essentially we were not in favor of redoing these lagoons for the capacity and such? I'm like not.
Like how they got done, where the money would come from. One of the things that we were trying to do was get an accounting of the excess fees that had been paid into the system by all of our users, and to try to get some reimbursement of those fees that had been spread throughout the county, or to get additional portion of those fees put into this project. So the county has said we're willing to give $2 million towards it. And we never did really get the final accounting because of the agreement on what we may have overpaid over the years that could have been spread out through other areas of the county and improved. But through the litigation, we have better review of the future account of where the funds go to.
Sounds like we need to have more information, more discussion on this. There's additional information that we need. I mean,
basically, there's excess flow during storm events that go into the trunk lines that feed into the Fox Lake plant. Fox Lake plant has X million gallon capacity of treatment.
Right.
So when they reach their maximum per day and the flows are higher than that, there needs to be a facility to store until the flow to slow down, and then they can pump into the plant to treat that excess flow.
Right.
And they're also looking at the need in the future under current projections, if the capacity throughout the plant and facility is reached, that they would need additional lagoons adjacent to the Fox Lake treatment plant, because the Fox Lake treatment plant has met their with the current expansion that they're doing has met their hydraulic capacity of the plant to where they can't expand beyond where they are now. So the option is to do additional storage lagoons to provide storage so the plant can treat at lower flow periods, the excess flow, or to build a sister plant next to the existing one. The cost of the lagoons is in the $17 to $30 million range. The complete treatment plant is more like $97 million. So that's why I looked at the lagoon option.
Okay.
But we didn't have additional discussion. Next agenda then, after the budget, or have future as early as convenient.
I'd like to see it on the next one if we could.
Okay. Okay, no executive session for committee of the whole. Motion to adjourn. Kirpson, second by Sandoval, all in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. I need to...